And I remember number one, being freaked out by that. Like, what's wrong with me? Like, have I gone cold? Am I a robot? And then the second thing I remember was feeling free, that there was some shift, that maybe it wasn't about everybody else, because here was everything that I thought I needed and I felt nothing. And that's when I had the discovery that nobody else was ever going to give me what I needed, what I could only feel for myself. And that was my own self-love.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. Now, we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my pleasure to be with you here on another episode. Oh my gosh, you know, I think we're closing in on 250 episodes. Isn't that awesome? That is awesome. And I have met the most amazing people, you in the Courage Club community for sure, as well as all of the outside experts we've been bringing in to be part of our community as well. And tonight, I have what I call like sort of the triple whammy of guests because she's going to share so much with us. And let me give you her bio really quick because I want to have plenty of time to find out all about all of the amazing insights she's going to share with us tonight. So here's her bio. Her name is Sherry Elise, and she was motivated by her own journey through childhood sexual abuse and other childhood traumas. She spent her life learning how to live herself fully and completely. And today she helps women and men discover their joy by reconnecting back to themselves through the practice of self-love. We're going to talk about self-love because Sherry is the best-selling author of the wonderful new book called Love Yourself Happy. She's a motivational speaker, self-love coach, and hosts the weekly radio and online TV show called The J-Spot. She is also the co-founder of the Wellness Universe, a community of holistic practitioners, coaches, and thought leaders whose focus is to create happy, healthy, and whole people. And I like to say, even this isn't here, this is Sharon speaking, because I'm a member of the Wellness Universe and just love it. And I like to say, happy, healthy, and whole people and planet. That's what I'm going to add there. The Wellness Universe is a bridge that connects wellness resources to those who are seeking wellness. So welcome, Sherry. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Sharon, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you and your listeners.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, and congratulations on the just skyrocketing success of your new book. That is just amazing.
It is. Thank you so much. I still get goosebumps thinking about it because, you know, it's the lifelong work, the lifelong journey just, you know, spilled out in ink. So it's very exciting.
Yes, it is. You know, when I wrote my book, there's this whole thing about how much do I share? What do I share? And I appreciate your book. It's very authentic. Or I think that's the word I want to say, revealing and authentic. And you can tell somebody who's been there. They're just not a talking head. It's someone who's been down in the trenches and found their way out.
Thank you. Yeah, it was really important for me to share the real and the raw, because I really feel like it's up to us, people who put themselves out there as inspirational thought leaders or coaches, people who are really guiding those, to really be authentic and let people know the real journey. Because I think we do people a disservice when we act like everything is positive all the time and there's no problems and, you know, life is perfect. And so I think it's important for us to show the journey, so then it allows people to see that they can make it through as well.
Oh, absolutely. And tell us a little bit about why you decided to write Love Yourself Happy.
Well, actually, back in 2013, I had this major heartbreak. And I did the whole Elizabeth Gilbert thing, Eat, Pray, Love. And I took off to Italy. for 3 months by myself to move through this. And I had this idea that I was going to write this book, and, you know, it was all romanticized in my head of what this summer would be like, because I live my life by movies. And so that was where the book idea first came, except it wasn't anything like Love Yourself Happy. It ended up being all about my everyday journal of moving through this heartbreak and all the things that I was discovering about myself. And so I started writing these daily journals there, and I was like, I can't seem to write. I don't understand. And people are like, you are writing. It's just in a different form. And so 6 years later, I finally finished Love Yourself Happy. And what it ended up morphing into was sharing my entire life stories, you know, highlights of them, and really the reconnection back to myself, because that's what I discovered in Italy. I finally went to this place within, you know, through our lives, we're always busy and we're always distracting and we're always, you know, we show up for people the ways that people expect us to. And when you're thrown in a situation like in Italy, I chose this tiny village where nobody spoke English.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it wasn't metropolitan at all, you know, like it wasn't Florence at first. And so I had to spend a lot of time with myself. And in that spending a lot of time with myself, I discovered a lot of what I didn't know about myself, my likes, my dislikes, who I really was, not just showing up as everyone expected me to. And I found myself. And I know that can sound cheesy, you know, to some, like, you find yourself. But I really came face to face with myself. And that whole beautiful moments of that and that whole journey, I just felt like I needed to share that because I finally understood what most of us don't do. And that is come face to face with our truths, with ourselves, because we're so busy with everything else. And so that's kind of how Love Yourself Happy really was born.
And it's beautiful. And yeah, one of the things I wanted to talk about is this idea of so busy with everything else that we put in this urgent category, but I find oftentimes it's just a distraction that we can't even find 15 minutes in a day to sit quietly with ourselves, and we're just too busy making everything else important. What are some tips you have for people to be able to, okay, whoa, categorize, is this really as important as reconnecting with the depths of my soul?
Well, I think that just really first just stems from people are afraid to get quiet. Because in that quiet and in that stillness is pain. It's unhealed stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot easier for us to distract. And there are people that are like, oh, healthy distractions, you know, like working out 4 times a day. Like, well, working out is healthy, but if you're doing that all the time to distract from that silence, you know, within, it's not always so healthy. And so it's first, I would say, coming to the understanding that when you get silent and when you get still and you prioritize that time, as you're saying, that whatever comes up, you're going to be okay. Because what usually comes up is stuff that you haven't dealt with, but it's stuff that's already happened. And so it's not like you're experiencing it again. You're just reliving it, but then you have the opportunity to heal it. And so the first tip I would say is be okay with what comes up. Because then it'll make it easier for you to spend that time with yourself, to prioritize that. And my number one thing that I do literally every morning to get that connection right off the bat, because otherwise I'm up and out for the day and there is no time, is that as soon as I wake up, open my eyes, I put my hands on my heart. Ooh. And this practice alone of feeling my heartbeat under my hands connects me immediately to myself, to what I believe, God, source, universe, and just the present moment. So I think that's a beautiful practice for everyone to try, because everybody has time for that.
Yes, and it's very simple and easy to remember as well. And another thing that's easy to remember is when I'm in those quiet moments, I find that at first it was true that it had passed, but gosh, it still felt really real. And I had little post-it notes on this little bench that I have in my room. And it was just like, you know, this too shall pass. And then I had, you are okay, you are whole. And little reminders. So if I felt overwhelmed in the moment, as you mentioned, sometimes it feels like you're reliving it, that I could open my eyes and there were these reminders. Oh, that was the past. This is the now. That's not happening. Right. and bring myself back to center.
Yeah. And that's a beautiful thing to do, because some people do get stuck in that. And here's the thing, it's not like you want to brush past it, because that's where most of the challenges or issues come in, is from the brushing past, is from the pushing aside, is from I'll deal with that later. You want to be able to face that stuff, but you do so with love, and you do so with kindness, and you do so with compassion for yourself. And so whatever does come up is okay. And there is that, I got you. I believe so much in self-talk and self-love. You know, when I say self-love, there's lots of different areas of self-love, but this self-compassion, kindness, and talk is such a beautiful way to help yourself move through something the same way you would do with a child or a best friend. You know, the ways we show up for them, that's the way you show up for yourself.
I love that. And just for the listeners, check in with past shows from Sarah Payton, where we have a couple of ones where she talks about your resonant self. And she has some very specific language that she uses to talk to that inner child or the inner wounded part of us. And some of the ones she uses, Sherry, I just love. And this is one of my favorite ones, is when that moment comes up and it feels like it's happening all over again, I begin the phrase of, "No wonder. Of course, it was scary then. And now's the time to deal with it so it's no longer scary." But this whole idea of using "no wonder, of course," it's so reaffirming that it's okay. It's okay if these thoughts come back and temporarily overwhelm us until we have a chance to begin to talk ourselves back to that place of what I like to call the observer position.
That's so beautiful. I love that. I actually just got emotional as you said that, because that "no wonder," that affirmation for that inner child, that's all we ever needed to hear. As a young child being sexually abused, which happened in 1981, you know, I often say no one was talking about it. Oprah wasn't out at the time talking. So my family didn't understand how to deal with it. And so one parent didn't talk about it at all, which then I took that in as they were ashamed of me. And then the other parent was just trying to teach me life lessons so it wouldn't happen again. And so trying to share with me or teach me not to be naive and all that. And so then I heard that as being blamed. And so nobody sat with me as a child and said, you know, "I'm so sorry that happened to you," or, you know, "I wish," or, "I understand why you feel this way." So I never received that. And it wasn't until years later, actually a few years ago, where I realized that all that that little girl needed, all I needed was a hug. That was it. I just needed someone to hug me. So this idea that you're talking about, her saying "no wonder," it's so powerful, because the little children in us just need that. We need that, you know, confirmation, that affirmation that everything we're feeling and everything we're experiencing, everything we've gone through is okay.
That's beautiful. And you're right. A lot of us are of that generation where it wasn't talked about, or if it was talked about in very unusual ways. And pointing out, I so appreciate that you point out how someone can come with good intention, ill-informed perhaps, but good intention, and that the other party hears it completely differently and begins to create all of these internal stories that tend to build upon themselves. It's just amazing to me. And what I find fascinating now, living decades here as I have, is that we can work with something. I've been through different types of therapies and connections and work and things like that, and thought I had dealt with it. And then all of a sudden, it pops up in some other little way or a trigger or something. And how do we deal with these kinds of moments where we go, "Doggone it, why is that back? I thought I had dealt with that."
It's perfectly normal. I think we all do. And for me, all that shows is like, oh, there's the gift. That's the gift there, is that just means that you haven't finished healing it yet. So instead of getting into that, because I did it too, I thought I dealt with this. You know, I put the man in jail. Like, you know, I stood up in a courtroom and I testified against him and he went away. Like, I thought I was all past this. And then when I found myself in the corner of my shower on the floor, like sobbing uncontrollably, reliving that moment, I realized, oh, I hadn't dealt with it. And so I think it's this idea of being, again, compassionate and loving with yourself and saying, what is it that you need from me? What are you feeling? How can I help you? So instead of being upset with ourselves that we haven't figured it out yet, what about just saying, what more do you need? What can I give you? How can I make this better for you? That whole dialogue with yourself leaves your inner self in that position to want to open up, to want to trust, to want to fully put the truth out there. And then in that putting the truth out there, that's when you're able to hear it, acknowledge it, and love yourself through it.
Mm. Now, tell us a little bit more of the process of self-discovery as you went through it. So we've had these opportunities to talk to our inner child and to allow ourselves to relive it and then get to that place of self-compassion. What are some other things that you discovered on this journey that you were just like, wow?
Well, there's been so many wow moments. And I love that wow, because I feel like we already have all these answers, you know, and it's just kind of waiting for us to step aside and allow it out, you know, to get out of our own way kind of thing. And as I mentioned before about this whole hug thing, this is another practice that I do in addition to the hands on heart, is that day in my shower when I was like crying and not understanding what was going on, I heard the little girl in me say, "I just needed a hug." And so then I heard after that, "So give her a hug." And I literally wrapped my arms around myself and I hugged myself. And in that moment, I allowed myself to heal what that little girl needed. And so I've done that every single day for the last year and a half. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't hug myself. Because I'll never be able to go back in time and give her what she needed then, but I certainly can make up for it now. And so I think in the listening to what it is that we need and gifting ourselves with that, whatever that is, those are the big aha moments, you know, for me. Those are the big wow moments, because nothing is too late. Nothing is too late in the things that have happened to us to be able to heal those things.
And the wonderful thing that came to my mind as you said that was this idea about giving us what we need. And I'll say believing it when you hear it, because the adult mind, rational mind, whatever you want to call it, one time I heard that I needed a pat on the back. And I had a dear aunt growing up, and one of the ways that she would console you is sort of patting you on the back. And so I was like, what is that about, a pat on the back? But I did. I reached over and wasn't quite like my aunt, but it was so soothing. And so it taught me, don't question it if it just like a pat on the back. And
so I love it. And you're so right. It is about trusting what comes up. So often we're like, "Oh, that's stupid," or "That's dumb," or "What are you talking about?" and judging ourselves instead of realizing that we're always being guided. We're always being shown what we need. It's just, are we number one listening? And then number two, are we willing to give ourselves what comes up? So good on you for patting yourself on the back. I love that.
I still do every so often, especially, you know, if it's sometime. And the other one that I was always sort of chided for as being arrogant or self-centered as a child was what I call the fist pump. I still do it, but I used to go, yes!
I love that, but that's so playful and fun and like excited for yourself, you know, that's how I see that.
And I didn't do it for years. And then one time I had a very successful day-long workshop at a corporate event. And I know you'll know this, Sherry, and I'm sure many of our community was, but there are times you just know you nailed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're celebrating it.
I walked off the stage and you know, hopefully not too many people saw it, but I walked off the stage where I didn't think a lot of people saw it, and I did that. And it was so wonderful and so freeing and affirming. Beautiful. That You did well, girl.
Yeah, exactly. And we should, like, I don't know why there's this stigma about patting ourselves on the back or celebrating ourselves is like, if it's arrogant, as you said, or cocky or whatever it is. Like, if we're not celebrating our achievements and giving ourselves a credit, like, you know, why would anyone else, you know, or who cares about, like, here's the thing. There's a part of my book where I write, because it stands out to me so predominantly, I remember looking for my validation through everybody else. It's what started me on the acting road many years ago to being an actor, like, you know, that external, "Yay, Sherry, you're great, you know? And then it morphed into other things and just always looking for my worth and what other people said. And then I remember one day specifically scrolling through, I think it was probably Facebook, and people were saying how wonderful I was. "You inspire me so much, and you're so this," like all of these beautiful sentiments. And I remember sitting there and just feeling complete numbness. Like just reading words, scrolling and reading words, and it meaning nothing to me. And I remember, number one, being freaked out by that. Like, what's wrong with me? Like, have I gone cold? Am I a robot? And then the second thing I remember was feeling free. that there was some shift that maybe it wasn't about everybody else, because here was everything that I thought I needed and I felt nothing. And that's when I had the discovery that nobody else was ever going to give me what I needed, what I could only feel for myself. And that was my own self-love. And so that was something that set me on that journey, like, oh, you got to figure this crap out for yourself. You know, you got to do this. This is not about anybody else, Sherry.
Yes. And we need to take a quick commercial break and we'll let us sit here as we're figuring out our own crap. And we got a couple of minutes here. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about this idea of self-love. How do we put it into daily practice? Because that's the whole key. So everyone, we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, from that quick commercial break. I hope you had time to sort of sort through some of the things we've been talking about and just, you know, let it bubble up. That's how it happens. It, you know, you can't force this stuff. And so we're here talking with Sherry Elise. She's the author of the wonderful new book, Love Yourself Happy. She's a motivational speaker, self-love coach, and hosts the weekly radio and online TV show called The J-Spot. And she's also the co-founder of The Wellness Universe. And Sherry, I wanted to jump right back into this idea about sometimes people try to force it. Like, I should remember, or we did talk about I should be over it. But there's also this idea of, I know there's something. I mean, there's got to be something. Yeah, type of thing. And they try to force it up. What did you find on your journey that allowed you to find this space and grace to just let it happen?
Well, I was one of those forcers. So, you know, because I had done so many self-help workshops, and I was like the girl that was in the self-help part of the bookstore, like when it was self-help or psychology, whatever it was, you know, like back in the day. And so I knew that I was holding on to stuff. And I knew that intellectually, I knew that there was all this stuff that I was supposed to heal. And that was probably making me overeat and choosing bad relationships and men. Like, I knew it all logically, but I didn't know how to get in touch with it. And so I kept doing all the things that everybody says you should do in this world, and, you know, wellness modalities and, you know, positive affirmations. And so I was the girl I still am the girl with the smile, but now it's actually genuine. but I mean, I was the girl, you know, with all the positive, shiny things to say. And, lifting everybody up. And yet there was this sadness within, which I wasn't in touch with the sadness because I wasn't allowing myself to feel. And so this idea of forcing things, the only way that I stopped forcing was when I actually started meditating. And I'm one of those people for years who said, I can't meditate because my brain never quiets itself. It's always going a million miles a minute. And it was really hard for me to quiet it down. And so I just gave up on this whole meditation thing. And it wasn't until a couple of years ago where I had some health issues, which is always amazing, of the things that actually make us dive deeper into ourselves, whether it's, you know, losing our career or a spouse or some, you know, or a health scare. And for me, it was facing this health thing that the doctors had no idea what it was. And I was super scared. And somebody said, try meditation. And at that point, I was just like, okay, what do I have to lose? And I finally was able to stop forcing and allowing, because what I felt was just this stillness and this connection and this touching of my soul. I can't really explain it except that in and of itself, because I had stopped with all the blocks and the barriers because I was desperate. And so I just sat in allowance of this. And in that, sitting there was this beautiful thing that showed up, which was me, and this beautiful connection to everything else. And it's a hard place to get to. It's a hard place when we're so much in our heads and in our minds, which so many of us are, you know, and the forcing, and I know that I should do this. And it really was just the surrender of what something's supposed to be and just allowing it to be.
That's beautiful. I love that. And that surrender part for me was my diagnosis as well. And it's a shame that it sometimes takes tragedy or things like that to get us to stop and reevaluate. Encouraged you that listeners, that if you're not there yet, listen up, please listen up and try it beforehand. Now, one of the things that we've talked about in this dis-ease that happens, and there's a lot of studies out there that's showing that childhood traumas, even adult traumas, PTSD, things like that. And they're finding that they don't have to be big traumas either. This is fascinating to me. Like, we're thinking, oh, maybe we're minimizing our trauma and we're like, oh, it wasn't that big a deal. They're finding that doesn't have to be, if you're saying, well, it wasn't that big a deal, it obviously is to you. And to explore those opportunities, because they're finding that these traumas can begin to create unbalance and dis-ease within the physical body. And oftentimes that's the part that the medical professionals, the Western medical professionals, are just absolutely befuddled about. What are some ways that you found when you had this dis-ease in your body and this physical manifestations that people are like, oh, maybe she needs therapy, or, you know, it's all in her head, or she's a hypochondriac, or she's just trying to get what are some other things I've heard? Just trying to get attention, or all these things that people label us with. What are some things that you found you could explore?
Well, what was interesting with that is, you know, the doctors couldn't find an answer for me. Everything was guessing, and let's do some exploratory work. Let's do exploratory surgery. Let's, you know, and every time we came out of something, it was like, well, we didn't see anything, but we tried this. Well, we didn't see anything. And what ended up happening, like I said, is that I started this meditation, and 3 months later, my physical pain had gone away. And so I had gone back. It was actually at the time I was seeing a gastroenterologist, and he was like asking me about my symptoms. And I said, I haven't had any. And so he said, what have you been doing? And I told him that I was meditating. And of course I felt crazy, because I didn't know what he was going to say to me. And there was just this look on his face, and he was like, really? And he was like, what kind of meditation do you do? And I said, no, I just get quiet and still, and I take nature walks, and in that, you know. And he just looked at me and he says, well, just keep doing what you're doing. And I followed up with him 3 months after that, and he told me that he began meditating.
Oh my gosh, that is so awesome. That's so opposite my story. My gosh, I was told when I was labeled remission, which I could have told him 3 years prior to that label, but whatever. Mm-hmm. And they said, this is amazing. We never expected this, and blah, blah, blah. What have you been doing? So I listed just five simple things I'd been doing. And You know, what disappointed me was there was no interest in sharing that with other people that they were seeing. It was just like, oh, great, keep doing it. Mm-hmm. But you could tell there was no interest in sharing these simple things. Now, meditation sounds simple. Some, you know, it takes some practice. But it is not difficult to do. And it certainly isn't like surgery. It's not assaulting you in any way like a surgery does. Mm-hmm. And it's so disappointing to me that oftentimes these simple things that can have pretty amazing benefit are discounted by our medical professionals that we have placed trust in.
Well, unfortunately, we know it's because then they would have no more business.
Yes, I guess there's not a lot of profit in meditation, right. as a medical professional.
Yeah, that's what I was very blessed to be able to have a doctor that actually listened to me. And, you know, one of the doctors, of course, there were other ones that wanted me to stay on pills and do other types of things, you know, but this particular doctor was intrigued by what I had said. So
awesome.
Always the one in the bunch, maybe, I guess.
Well, that's all it takes for me. You know, you have a wonderful community called the Wellness Universe. You know, it just takes one person to plant the seed to begin to build a movement of change and understanding that wellness is more than just the physical body. And that's one of the things that I want to get across, is that wellness is a complete emotional, spiritual, mental, physical, the entire being, whatever that is, however you describe that for yourself, is what it is. Let's take a little bit, and I wanted to diverge a little bit and talk about some of the other things that you have found that other people do besides meditation, that they're able to come in touch with themselves. Do you have any other tips about ways that people besides meditation, that people have gotten in touch with themselves?
Well, I think I know plenty of people that actually journal, which is a beautiful practice because it gets you out of your head. And there's different ways to do it. I used to do it, but I would, in the beginning, be very much in my head because I would try to be the writer and, you know, write this beautiful journal. And I had someone that was like, just write from the moment you wake up when you're not thinking and just put your thoughts down. And what I ended up finding and my clients end up finding is that in that free flow, in that non-judgment, a lot of your stuff does come up. And when you read back, you're like, huh, look at that. And you often find yourself resolving a lot of the stuff, the feelings that you were initially feeling, you end up writing them out. So for a lot of people, I know journaling works. There's like tons of different wellness modalities. I mean, just being in the Wellness Universe alone and seeing people that work, and this is going to sound woo-woo to some, like the whole ancestral clearing thing. There's been some science behind it. It was just recently out about the stuff that we carry from our own ancestors, emotional stuff, and then of course physical stuff, and the clearing of that, that people are actually healing themselves of long-term physical issues, and then even stuff like anxiety and depression and all that from doing this modality that I smile about it because I know how cuckoo it could sound to some people, but I've seen it work. So ancestral clearing, I mean, then of course there's always, you know, things, again, in that field, Reiki. I mean, there's so many different ways that people can learn to get in touch. For me and for the people that I teach, besides meditation, because I know not everybody can do it, it's this, that dialogue again, that just asking yourself the questions, what do you need from me? How can I show up for you today? How can I love you more today?
I love that. And just a side note on journaling, I've shared this on the show before, but when I journal, I write on the right hand side of the page is today. I leave the left hand side blank. And then I go back. Some people like preset times. I'm not that systematic, but
me neither.
then I go back and I write what's changed. I'll just pick a page and I'll read it like, wow. And I'll write what's changed. And I find that helpful in me seeing patterns. And are they repeating patterns? Mm-hmm. And also just like, this too shall pass. Wow. Look at how far I've come. Another time for a pat on the back. Look at how far I've come.
Yeah, that's amazing, because that's actually what really progressed me forward in my life, is this whole hindsight thing. I started realizing that all of these challenges that I was having in my life, like all of these, as people would deem negative or things that would show up, and I would see how my life worked out better in the long run. Like why that guy that I was engaged to and cheated on me, Many years later, I ended up meeting the man I was supposed to. And so in looking back at all of these past things that happened, I started realizing like, oh, maybe we don't have to wait for hindsight to see the lessons. Maybe we can learn to trust in the now so that when these things show up in our lives, whether we understand them or not, that we actually have faith and trust. And I know that's hard for some people because it's blind, but to say, okay, I don't know why you're showing up, but I trust that there's something bigger and better here for me. And then instead of fighting our way through it, we accept what is, and then we're able to move through it without being beaten and torn up and bruised.
Another thing that came to my mind too, when we were discussing all these modalities, is some will work for you and some won't, and that's okay. Yep. I'm thinking of one where I was mentioned, I went to this wonderful woman who deals with energy and taught me some very fascinating things, and most I could use, but one just didn't seem to work for me. And she kept singing its praises. I'm like, it didn't work for me. And then it was 3 years later, I meet another amazing energy person and they say, oh, well, then the opposite of that is this, try that. And I went, tried it. And I went, oh my gosh, that works. Okay. So just because it works for you or someone else, you know, we're all absolutely different beings having different experiences. Yep.
And as you said, it's all okay. You know, you try things and if it doesn't work, it's not like you're in any worse position for trying, you know. I personally think our own energy of the willingness to want to heal and the willingness to bring stuff up, that we've already put ourselves on that path and that trajectory of healing, like just because we've allowed ourselves to show up. And that's the thing that I always tell all my clients and everybody is just keep showing up. Just keep showing up for yourself. That's it. Show up for yourself with love, show up for yourself with joy and with kindness and compassion. And what will happen is that you'll end up liking yourself a lot more, that you're just going to naturally start to feel better. You're going to naturally start to move through the world better because you know that there's someone who has your back and that person is you.
Goodness. And we're up against one more quick commercial break. So take the next minute or so and just bask in this place of that, you know, you have your back. Spend some time during this quick commercial break. Just enjoying that, basking in that. Oh, we'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for inspired conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Sherry Elise, and she is the author of the awesome new book, Love Yourself Happy, as well as the co-founder of the Wellness Universe. And I wish you guys could be listening in on our commercial breaks, too, because we were talking about wonderful words. We were talking about, oh, how good some things like bask feels. I just want to bask in that. Feels. And I'm such a word nerd, Sherry. I really think that the way we talk about ourselves, both not just internally, but externally, create our environment and allowing ourselves to use words like love myself or bask in that, or even just sounds like, ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, as soon as you said it, I was like, you know, melting into my chair a little bit. And I was like, I do want to bask in that. You know, you are right. Like, I mean, it's an energetic thing with the right words.
And sometimes it's funny words that trigger me to think about those things, like savor the moment. I'm like, oh yeah. Sometimes somebody called me deliciously funny. And at first it was like, you know, kind of what? And then I just went, oh, that's so wonderful.
You're kind of inspiring me right now to use more of these like adjectives, these great words. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Even when they might not make sense, I'm like, deliciously funny. But there was something about it first made me perk up and listen to it, which was awesome. But also then I went, yeah, wow, that's great. I like the word delicious. It doesn't just apply to food. It can apply to events and people and things. And, you know, it can apply to anything. Wonderful. Wow. Let's circle back. And are there any other things that you've wanted to share that we haven't touched on?
Like, there's always so much to share and talk about. I think what's important really for everybody to understand, because this was a really tough lesson and something that I worked through, this whole idea, I guess, of perfectionism. Yeah, I know.
I'm a recovering perfectionist.
Me too. And that's why I bring it up, because this idea that I always had to show up with the right things to say, and I always had to show up looking my best, and, you know, and it stemmed for me personally, and I find in the people that I work with, this perfectionism stems from a lot of people who had childhood trauma or any sort of trauma, because there's this safety that needs to come with perfectionism. Like for me, what I ended up learning at a young age was that if I had made better choices, then I wouldn't have been put in that unsafe environment. And so then I spent a lot of my life trying to be perfect and make perfect choices so I wouldn't be hurt again. And the truth is that there is no perfect. And the truth is that especially in the social media world that we're always comparing ourselves to and always wanting to be like, there isn't one person out there that doesn't have something that they're challenged by, something that they wish that they didn't have to work through, or somebody that they didn't wish that they were comparing themselves to. And so the moment that you and I are able to just exhale and say, okay, I may not be perfect, which doesn't exist, but I'm exactly who I need to be at this exact moment. And my crooked smile and my quirks and my imperfections are all who I am and what I'm supposed to be. And easier said than done, sure, it's always easy, but it's much more challenging to go through life comparing yourself, and it's much more challenging to keep working to show up and to never be satisfied because you keep trying to reach this bar that you never, ever hit. And so, you know, agreeing and allowing, going, maybe there is a different way to do this. Maybe in this, again, this surrender, maybe this might be easier.
And some of the things that I think about are the moments where I have shown up where I was in that perfectionist mode and I wanted everything to be perfect. And there's that moment where you're just looking around and you're like, wow, just everything is imperfect. I'm looking around, I was like, what was I thinking? Why did I spend all this extra time? And I remember years ago sort of beating myself up for at that moment of where you're tried to be perfect, you show up in your mind perfect, you realize it's not going to be perfect. And you're like, why did, and then you start doing this perfectionist routine about why did I waste all my time trying to be perfect? I mean, sometimes it becomes this vicious cycle that we begin to then have rolling downhill until we stop and say, okay, wow. And we go into surrender. How do you define surrender?
Breathing.
Lots of deep breathing.
Lots of deep breathing. But breathing, I mean this with all honesty, I really feel like breathing solves everything. Because no matter if I'm stressed, if I'm worried, if I'm anxious, if I'm sad, by literally connecting to my breath, somehow things just seem easier. And the only way that I know how to truly surrender is to take that breath, because it reminds me that I don't have to hold it all together.
And in my other world, my corporate world, I do body language work. And they'll always say, what's the number one nonverbal I have to do? I have to remember. And they're always so disappointed. You just see this letdown. And I go, breathe. to show up and be breathing comfortably, normally, not high and rapid, which creates fight or flight. It's interesting to me that even if you're not in fight or flight, because one of the signs of fight or flight is high and rapid breathing, yet if our body begins to high and rapid breathe and we're not in that space of fight or flight yet, it will put us there. So it's a two-way street. I always say, if you find yourself in those moments, just let go of the belly, you know, breathe 360, feel the ribs expand, and so take some nice deep breaths. And what I love, as I know you know, Sherry, it resets itself. The body, the mind, everything resets itself almost instantaneously. It's so surprising to me.
It's amazing. And I never thought I would be one of these people, to be perfectly transparent, that's like, just breathe. Like, because to me, from the outside years ago, like that's what the yogis do. And that's what all these, you know, again, I'm going to keep saying using the word woo-woo because it gets used a lot, like people do. And the more and more of the healing that I do and more work that I do, I realize, oh yeah, it is just breathing. And, you know, as simple as that sounds, most of us don't do it. You know, we walk around holding our breath, and you know, it's a miracle worker. We've been given a miracle in our bodies, and yet we often take it for granted. And once we can tap into that presence and miracle of our bodies, everything resolves itself.
It does. And I'm always amazed that this is a wonderful healing machine, given the right opportunities for healing and fixing up and optimizing itself. It just amazes me what an amazing machine it is, given the right opportunities. I challenge myself sometimes, if I'm having a particularly rough week or I'm having a rough morning, I challenge myself when I notice that. I go, okay. And then I set a little timer, and I know this sounds crazy, but I do. And I check in with myself, how often am I breathing? Because if I'm having a particularly challenging time, I notice I am one of those people that tend to hold their breath way longer than they should. And I usually find my tongue nailed to the roof of my mouth too. So
it's a good observation though.
Yeah, so I stop. And then at first, if I'm really in the thick of it, I set a little timer. Just, okay, that's to remind how am I breathing, and reset my breathing. And sometimes you have to reset it fairly often, depending on what's happening.
I have on my phone at 1 o'clock PM every day, my alarm goes off and it says connection time. And for me, that means no matter what I'm doing, that means from placing my hands on my heart, like I do in the early morning when I first wake up, and connecting back to myself, which that naturally makes me breathe. It makes me say, hello, how are you feeling? What's going on? And all of that just resets my body for me. So this idea that whether you're this kind of coach or that kind of person, that we all do things perfectly, again, with the perfectionism, we don't. Like, the only thing that some people have are the tools to be able to navigate through those harder times more than someone else, but we're all human. And so we all come across challenges, and it's just being good to ourselves and forgiving of ourselves through those.
Yes. Oh my gosh, time flies. We're down to the last 7 minutes. I can't believe it as I look at the clock here. Any final thoughts, and then share with us where we can get your book and about the Wellness Universe.
Yeah, I think I'd just like to piggyback off of what I said about this whole being good to ourselves, because that really, for me, Sharon, has been my life lesson. And I think the greatest thing that I've ever learned, and what allows me every single day to look in the mirror and say, I love you, and to mean it, is this being okay with myself no matter how I show up from day to day. So on the days that I don't make the best choices, and on the days when maybe I'm not the nicest to myself, on the days that I don't always do everything great, those are all the days that I forgive myself and I love myself through it. And that self-love is what will carry us through everything. So I just really want to encourage people to go easy on themselves. And you can find my book on Amazon, Love Yourself Happy, A Journey Back to You. You can always connect with me on my site, which is sherryelise.com. And then, of course, also find me and tons of other amazing wellness practitioners at thewellnessuniverse.com.
That's awesome. Tell us a little bit about the Wellness Universe, if you would, because I am a member. I'm letting everybody know I'm a member, and I absolutely love it. But let's hear it from one of the co-founders, exactly what it is.
So our idea really is that everybody that will have this greater, more peaceful world if everybody is more at peace with themselves. And so by being able to connect the general public with all different types of wellness, from emotional wellness to physical to spiritual to, as you mentioned, the planet, environmental wellness, that there's this whole holistic, all these holistic modalities that make us individually happy, healthy, and whole. That's our goal, is to be able to give you like a one-stop shop for wellness. So, you know, and if you're having back issues, and normally maybe you go to a chiropractor, well, maybe you go to the Wellness Universe and you look up a chiropractor, but what you find is someone who also deals with back issues who does Reiki, or can help you with EFT tapping, or, you know, maybe a therapist, because maybe you're having emotional issues and it's actually causing your back issues. It's this whole idea of cross-pollination and a holistic way of healing. And so we're basically the bridge, which, as you mentioned earlier, between those who seek wellness and those who provide it. Very excited about our community.
Oh, it's a wonderful community. It's wellnessuniverse.com. And Sherry, spell your website, because I know your last name is spelled quite uniquely.
Yes, it is Sherry Alyse, SHARIALYSE.com.
Awesome. Everyone, that's Sherry Alyse. And thank you so much. She's the author of the wonderful new book called Love Yourself Happy. And appreciate you being here and sharing all the wonderful things that you've learned on your life journey. It's so important that we share these things, because each time we get a new piece of our puzzle or a new insight, a new aha, we can go, oh, I'll give that a whirl and see how it works. And oftentimes it works awesome. So everyone, have a great week, whatever your adventures. Join us over on Facebook at Understanding Autoimmune and Autoimmune Hour. We have two pages over there. Understanding Autoimmune is what I call our feel-good page, where we post lots of fascinating articles, as well as just awesome positive thoughts to keep us moving forward in our healing journey as well. And also over at Twitter, Understanding Autoimmune. Everyone, have a great weekend. Whatever your adventures, join me next week. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Take a moment now and wander over to your favorite spot. You know the place, that place of safety and security in your mind, that you can just let your mind wander. And from this place, savor the smells and the colors, the textures and the patterns. That's right. Continuing to release any leftover little stressors of the day with a nice extended exhale. Coming to a place of complete comfort and relaxation. Letting go of all drama. That's right. Just whisking it away. No longer needed. Doesn't have a place here. That's right. Oh, let it go with a sigh. No need for drama here. No need to accept others' drama. Just enjoying this place of solitude. Savor the colors and the textures and the patterns and just the quiet and comfort. On each extended exhale. Notice how it feels to be without drama. Oh, just lovely, that's right. Open and spacious without drama. That's right. Knowing that you can take the same feeling of open and spacious, no drama, no need for drama, right now, back into the real world. That's right. Integrate this feeling of no drama, of relaxation, open and spaciousness, and take it back into the present moment. Right now, alert and aware that you can call on this feeling at any time and carry it with you at all times. That's right. Alert and aware, eyes wide open and ready to begin your day without drama and with that open and spacious feeling. Oh, welcome back.